All right, let's kick it up a notch. You guys were slacking in the first hour.
Oh, were we?
Well, not really.
That's all right.
But I'm motivating you.
Good.
Like many teams are trying to get their team over the finish line.
Sometimes you need a kick.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee with you for the next hour. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Doug Armstrong. President of Hockey Operations, General Manager of the St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I thank hundreds of you out in social media who just text Sammy, change the jersey.
It's actually really kind of cute. It's cute that people are like, love Sammy, and they know your dad is going to yell at him if he doesn't do it. They're like, Sammy, don't do it.
I can't help but again be like, you're talking about them sending free chicken. Could they just give us some money for some jerseys?
30, look at the size of this. Sweaters
this
would
is
cost
so embarrassing. This is the smallest jersey.
That is.
It's embarrassing. Almost so small, we only get the bottom half of the jersey in the frame.
Oh, that's my God.
Boys medium.
It's terrible. It's you know where that came from? That's Ryan Fabro, our boss's like kids.
Childhood.
That's he like brought it in. He's like, I got my kids' jerseys.
All right.
So thanks, Fabro's
kid. Here's the whole thing. Yeah. All right, before we get to a guest, can we please address the Montreal Canadiens and yesterday the Nick Suzuki thing? Did you see me getting killed over this?
You called him a fourth liner. Yes, I'm with Twitter and and all the rest of them. JP.
Here's what I take away from this. This is awesome. Way to go, Montreal Canadiens, for spurring engagement with your team. They care again. They're no longer just like, oh, we're going to rebuild, whatever. They're like, no, Nick Suzuki is not the 25th best center in the league. He's 12th or whatever you think he is.
I got a message saying, make Justin give me 24 centers.
I get that. I've got that 100 times today. And so I did say, when we had the conversation, I said, he's like, whatever, 25th best. And it went over to Sammy. And I was like, ah, that's too harsh. That's not right. Like immediately I know that that's not true. So today I did. I wrote it out. And I've got him like, maybe he's top 15. I'm
he
off by 10. He did.
He jumped 10 because you got scared.
There's like 10 guys you would definitely take. And then there's 10 guys where you're like, do you want Sebastian Aho or Suzuki? It's like, I don't know. Depends what you're looking for.
I'll take Suzuki.
Top 15. There you go.
Suzuki over Aho?
I'll take Suzuki over Aho.
Me too.
As a card-carrying member of Nick Suzuki, my beloved Nick Suzuki from the onside attack, one of the best players in franchise history, I adore him.
Yeah.
But Aho's pretty good.
You know who you're not taking? Brady Shen, because he was unavailable at the deadline.
Yeah.
Let's welcome him in, the man who led my trade board for 3 months and only to disappoint me.
To trade nobody.
Because he didn't trade half his team. And Doug Armstrong, president of hockey operations. Army, how are you, man? Hey, are you still in Florida with Elliot?
Not with Elliot, but I'm still in Florida. I can't lie.
Good for you. Good for you. Like anything else, a really nice paid vacation, eh?
Yes. Yeah. I can't lie on that one either.
did anything come out of it that, you know, that is worth talking about, or is everything just hunky-dory?
Besides my sunburn or...
Hey, you got some color,
buddy,
Doug.
You look like you were bobbing for French fries for 3 days.
Yeah, no, it was a constructive meeting. I think we spent a lot of time on goalie interference, quite honestly, and looking at, I think it was 60 calls, and everyone had an opportunity to, you know, agree or disagree with the call. And it was surprising how much we supported hockey operations, just, you know, and there was no... Yeah, it was just our call, and they were very, very similar. So I think, you know, what we talk about is when it's not your team, they seem to me a lot more, there's a lot more synergy to what you look at. When it's your team, you don't seem to see the synergy if it's not going your way.
Any talk about the delays or speeding the process up, or again, the focus has to be getting it right first. I'm sorry, fans, if you need to wait 7 minutes, so be it.
I think it getting it right We would all like it to be done as quick as possible, but what you want to do and what the league wants to do is make sure they get every angle. Sometimes that takes a little while and get the call right. The last thing you can do is say, let's say you put a clock on at 45 seconds, and then at 47 seconds, a new angle comes in and the call is wrong, over 2 seconds or whatever it is. I think getting it right is the most important thing.
Doug, maybe you can give us some insight. Are you good on the GM meetings? Some insight into how the trade deadline played out for you. The Blues find themselves in a really competitive hunt here for that last spot. Did that affect some of your decision-making at the deadline?
Oh, for sure. I think coming out of the Four Nations event, everybody sort of sets their table on what they're looking to do. And we were pretty honest with everyone that unless we get on a massive heater here before we had a game on the Wednesday night in LA, we were going to be sellers, and it could have gone from the top to the bottom of our roster. And then we ended up winning a lot of games, and it just became the guys are doing their part. And I always say, and we always believe that, the players tell you what to do at the deadline. You don't tell the players what to do. And they kept winning and kept winning, and they put themselves in a great spot. And so what we pretty well got to before our last game, saying we weren't going to make any futures trades. If anything came up with a hockey trade, we would look at it. And we ended up being content with the group that we had, and they've paid us off so far with really good play. And we have a massive game tonight, and it's I was laughing with a couple of guys at the last two GM meetings I've been at. I've never looked at the scores once. And then the other night, I couldn't get my eyes off the scores. So it's nice to be back in the hunt and playing some meaningful games.
As far as looking at your team and saying, okay, I'll move some bodies or I won't, did the market or the price have a lot to do with it as well? Typically, prices do drop, right? Friday, noon, 1 o'clock. Were you close on anything based on offers that you thought maybe at the time you couldn't refuse?
No, just and again, if we had a lost, like we lost, we won a bunch of games and we lost to Dallas, and then we beat LA, and it was the players dictated that we weren't in the futures market. We had set a high price for if we were going to get into the futures market. Because we didn't have to move anybody because we didn't have expiring contracts of our top players. And then a fourth or fifth or sixth round pick or whatever you could get for someone on an expiring deal, didn't make sense for us where we were at. So we just kept our group moving forward. And I think if we had got into the futures market, we could have made some potentially good long-term deals, but it didn't... what we want to do is build around that group in their early 20s. Probably the oldest guys are Kyrou and Thomas. And then we have a lot of guys with, adding Broberg and Holloway this year to put him in with Hofer and Neighbors. And then we have some of these young guys coming when 3 years ago, we added all those picks, and we had 3 first round picks, and those guys are turning pro and should start making an impact over the next 12 to 24 months. We're trying to build around that group, and we stayed consistent to that principle.
One more in terms of this particular trade deadline for you, Army, and that's kind of a unique situation where you've named a new general manager coming up in Alex Steen. How much of this trade deadline did you have to be conscientious of what kind of team you leave him? Did that ever come into play at all?
I think it's been in play since last year when we brought him in, and not that I'm trying to set the table up perfectly for him, but we have a plan, and when he came in, I told him what the plan was, and we wanted to stay consistent to it. Now, if we were a team that like Washington, I don't think anyone. I shouldn't say anyone, probably they thought they were going to have the year they are. But if they had been a different team, you make different decisions. We weren't that team, so we had no reason to change our philosophy. What would have changed our philosophy was if we didn't win those games, we would have gone a different direction. Mm-hmm.
So I hate to skip around here, but I feel like I haven't asked you about the Four Nations. I mean, first off, congratulations. That was obviously a very exciting thing for our country. Did you feel it? The the Canadian passion behind that? Did it become something, I guess, greater than you expected it to be?
Yeah, it did. I thought it was going to be great hockey. I thought that I wasn't concerned when you heard it's just another All-Star game. There's too much pride on the line. And because we haven't played best on best for so long, I knew it was going to be competitive. And I also think with the Olympics right around the corner, it was, you know, a good stepping stone. And then that Canada-US game in Montreal was fantastic. It was everything that hockey wanted and needed. And then the final game lived up to the billing. So it was a great event. It shows you how, you know, the Swedes were the only team not to lose a game in regulation. The competition is going to be really, really good moving forward. And it sets up the Olympics very well and sets up international hockey play very well. There's that whole next generation. It was their first time on the big stage, and I thought they did a great job.
So you speak of something that it went from we haven't seen it in 10 years to every other year now between a NHL international event and the Olympics every other year. And I'm just wondering, is that a big ask which should fall on pretty much the same players for the next 5 or 10 years? Like the amount of energy and emotion that it took out of the players to me blew me away, Army. And I'm just wondering, is anybody concerned that the ask might be too big every other year?
Yeah, it's certainly on the radar screen, but you have to, if the game wins, we all win. And, you know, there is going to be a small number of guys that are probably going to play in all of those events. But I think the pools are so deep, you're going to see other players pop in and injuries might keep a star player out. So I think the pool might be a little deeper than we think, probably for Canada and the U.S. more than the other countries, just because our selection process is a little bigger. But I think it's real. I think when you come out of that event and injuries happen and they can alter your playoff picture for sure. But it, you know, there is a price to pay, and I think the league and the union and have agreed that if this is the price to pay, we're going to do it. And the players are 100% on board with it. And if they're 100% on board, the rest of us just get in line.
Hey, Doug, when there were three fights at the start of that game, did you wish you had Tom Wilson? Were you thinking about it?
It crossed our mind. Yeah, it was, you know, it was great for hockey. It's not. It's not something that we see very often. It's still part of our game. I thought that the Tkachuk boys came and wanted to make a mark on hockey today and hockey moving forward. They did their job. I was really impressed with the Canadian players that fought. You know, I don't think they went in. They thought it was going to be a competitive game, but they were there to answer the bell, and they did very well in the fights too. And after 9 seconds, I thought it settled into just a great, great game.
You're watching and listening to Doug Armstrong, president of hockey ops and general manager of the St. Louis Blues. So, Army, just expand a little bit for me in terms of the big picture here, because there's world championships that you're looking after now. There's the Olympic team that you're looking after now. I know there's some players out there that did not participate in Four Nations that would dearly love to get in and represent Canada as early as the Olympics next year. How do you now give the players that participated a thought of, hey, you were loyal to us, you came, that's going to give you an edge, without telling the players that didn't participate you have no shot at it? Like, that it's a good place to be, I'm sure, but there's the loyalty part for the guys that have been there, and then there's the carrot that still needs to be dangled to guys that say, you're not out of the mix here. Just because you didn't play in the Four Nations doesn't mean that you can't be on the Olympic roster next February.
Yeah, well, we did an exercise, and I won't give you the results, with our management group on how many different players we thought would be on that team prior to the event. And, you know, it was more than one, I'll tell you that. You know, it's just so the way that we look at it, guys, is that was a major event. The lights were brightest. We saw who performed well. Now we go into the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's the next major lights. And if you're not in that event and you have the opportunity to go to the World Championships, you know, that's another major event. We'll be people over there scouting that. They'll be watching that. And it's not if you don't go, you can't play in the Olympics. It is if someone goes there and plays very well, their stock rises. That's just the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, you know, go, if you want to give yourself the best opportunity, you go and you play very well and you move up the up the pecking order. But I think we're going to have we heard was probably till around January 1st or till after Christmas. So the window of getting 30 plus games in next year is going to be important too. So that's the way I look at it. Three major events coming up. You have the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have the World Championships, then you have the start of next season. And someone that you know, I think very highly of, Robert Thomas, got hurt at the start of the season. And by the time he was up and running, our team was picked. So I think having that extra month is going to allow whoever gets injured in the first week or of the season or in training camp, they're going to have enough runway, unless it's 3 or 4 months, you know, to get up and going.
Well, talking about your guys, I thought Colton Parayko was one of the best D-men there. You talk about a guy who did a good job in a fight there. That was really cool. But one of the main decisions here is who's going to play goal. And I was very impressed. I think John Cooper and staff were kind of on the hook for a decision when they said, this is the guy and we're running with him. And they end up being right. Binnington is huge in overtime in the gold medal game. I'm not going to ask if you were surprised, but how much input did you have in the decision to go with Binnington? And I guess just how pleased were you with it all?
Well, we won, so it was 100% my decision.
Yeah, all you. Well done.
No, I think, you know, John and David Alexander and all the coaches, you know, it was a tough call. All three goaltenders were good. I think they went with Binnington. And, you know, if you go back to that first game against the Swedes, he might have had one he wanted back, but he made a couple in overtime that got us that extra point that we needed to get into the finals. Mm-hmm. You know, and then what he did against in the finals in the overtime was nothing short of spectacular. And so I'm probably happy for Benner for something a little bit different, is that we won that event. He won that event for us, a great part of it. And he can breathe all summer, you know, going back to Toronto. Let's say a bad goal had gone in, mm-hmm. you know, that then this is just the narrative that we have to deal with until next February. What's going to happen with our goal to have a guy that can win? Just by that job that he did in the overtime alone, let everybody breathe, allows him to breathe over the summer, go back home, go out for dinner, maybe even get a free beer from somebody because of that great play. But if not, not get harassed on what happened. And I think that our goaltending is in a good spot. Binner's there, and you see Blackwood playing unreal in Colorado now, Thompson in Washington. I think there's going to be great competition, and I'm just happy for Binner, though, just for the long-term approach of what that does for him right now psychologically, but also how it affects this summer.
In terms of the playoff race, you know, lots of talk about changing things or you know, who gets to play who in the first round, Army, and eliminating good teams early in the first round as we anticipate maybe a Colorado and Dallas. How do you see things moving forward here on the current system?
I think that the league is happy with the format the way it is. Divisional play is very important. We've been on that too in the, you know, 2000, maybe 12 to 16, somewhere in that. Like, we were playing Chicago a lot, and we were usually two of the top five or six teams in the league. We just had to play in that first round. That's just the way it was. I think if you want to win the championship, you're going to have to go through good teams. I think it is compelling, though, like coming out of the gate and having those series, it gets everybody's attention in round one, and then it just builds momentum. So I understand that, you know, the reality is 16 teams are going to be done. And then two weeks later, there's another eight joining them. And that's just the way it is. But I'm excited about those first round matchups. I'm hoping we have one to get excited about. And then you go from there. But as far as those top teams having to play, it's great for the game because it gets everyone's attention. There's going to be teams that are very excited, and I've been on the other side of the coin. You push all your chips into the middle and you're done in 12 days. There's a lot of soul searching going on what you gave up to do that. But that's, if you think you have a chance to win, I give those teams a ton of credit because they anteed up.
So, you know, the fact that your team has this chance to be in one of those playoff series, a lot of that comes at the change of things when you get Jim Montgomery. And so what has changed for your team with his arrival?
I would say the consistency of our top six players is totally different. When we were playing before, if you look at it, just look at our record, like the Holloway, Shen line, Kyrou were playing great. And then the Thomas line and Buchnevich weren't playing as good. And then all of a sudden they got going and the Shen line cooled down a little bit. Over the last, and I never really felt, when, and our group felt, didn't feel that we ever had any more than four, usually just three of our top six going. And I think if you want to have success, you need, obviously it's when you get six going, that's unreal. But if you can get five going at any one time, you know, because they're the difference makers. They touch every part of your game. You know, they kill penalties, but more importantly, on the power play, they drive your five-on-five play. So I would say it's been the consistency of our top six players have been really good. And I think adding Fowler really stabilized our group. Mm-hmm. Him and Parenko, it's the closest that we've had since Bouwmeester and Parenko with Fowler back there. He's not different than Bo is defending, but if you look at his point totals, they've been outstanding. Then let everybody go down another rung. I think we've got great, you just look at the total number of games played from our first five defensemen. They got to be near the top of the league. So there's massive experience there, and that's been a huge benefit.
Hey, speaking of Holloway, Army, you remember when Berkey plotted to fight Kevin Lowe in a barn over the offer sheet of Penner?
Over the phone, too.
Yeah. I mean, has anyone this year challenged you at all from the Oilers, Stan Bowman? I know Kevin's a little old now, but, like, does anybody want to take a run at you?
No, I don't think so. I think we just understand that this is part of the business. And I think the difference from our perspective, at least, is that we charted a path where we thought this was a possible solution, was to get the players. I think it's, I don't want to speak for everybody, but NHL owners got deep pockets, you know? So if it's just about, well, he doesn't want to spend the money, they'll spend it. You know, they don't let players walk just over money. Mm-hmm. It could be over the structure of what they have and what they have coming. And it was a perfect storm for us. The Oilers, I thought Jeff did a really good job. The 1st of July, he went out, he was extremely aggressive. He brought in veteran players, but that closed the amount of finances they had for something like this. And I think the opposite was, if you look at what Boston did with Swayman, where Kenny Holland did with his two young players, I think Boston left $10 million Steve Yzerman left like $19 million for those players. So there was no real reason to think that an offer sheet there would work. Mm-hmm. They worked on this one because of the amount of money we were willing to put into it and the great job they had done in bringing in other players.
Do you think you've opened up something that other teams need to really visit? And do you expect more offer sheets coming in years to come here now?
Yeah, I don't want to rain on the parade. I think what it's probably done, Kipper, it's made everyone aware that if you have a good young restricted free agent, you know, there's a leave the room that you want to be able to match it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're willing to take the compensation of three first round picks, then leave a dollar left less than that to make them go to that level. There's a level that everyone is acceptable to move on. And I think it's just creating enough space for yourself. And again, the Oilers are a top team. I can't really second guess what they did. They're a Stanley Cup favorite after the deadline. I think on the money line, they were everyone's favorite to win. So, again, it was just something that made sense for us, where we were in our growth pattern, adding two young players to that age bracket also made sense.
Army, I can't thank you enough for leaving the beach for us.
Yeah, great interview.
You know, and I don't know, for those of you that can't see your beach wear, it's fantastic. Yeah, that shirt screams beach.
Well, I was at golf and I was in the beach all day.
That's awesome.
All right. Really appreciate it, Army. Have a great one, bud. Good luck tonight.
Always love coming on with you guys. You take care. All the best.
Appreciate it. Thanks
Doug
so much.
Armstrong. He's a lot of fun.
He is. I mean.
And he lets me have fun with him.
That's the most amount of information you can get in one interview. That was spectacular.
It was great. Yeah. It was great. I think he opened up something with the offer sheets.
See, I think it's like when Vegas did the expansion draft and everyone and fleeced everyone.
Yeah.
And then Seattle came around next and everyone was like, not this time.
No, I feel like
it's like a not this time thing.
So what was the situation with Shea Theodore in Vegas? Didn't they like pay a pick to protect some like another guy on there and they let him have Fowler and a pick?
They threw in Riley Smith to take Marchessault.
Oh my God.
In Florida, yeah.
So the Toronto Maple Leafs have Matthew Nyes. And people are worried about, to me, it's not a guy potentially to make $7 or $8 million. Mm-hmm. His was more of a, not a money decision, but you have to make a decision on how good you think Holloway is. No one is going to make a tough decision on Matthew Nyes if he's good or not, or, you know, whether or not he's got a very solid career ahead of him. But between like a Dylan Holloway or even a Broberg, like, that's a very hard decision to make very quickly on how good you think these guys really are.
I just don't agree. Like, I think Doug is doing a great job protecting the Oilers there by not being too hard on it. Like, you got to keep those guys. Oh, my God.
But if you think Holloway could be a guy that's in the minors or back and forth.
Why would you think that?
Because they did.
I know, but he was in their Stanley Cup, dressed in the Cup final for them. You watch
Broberg.
Him, he's fast. He's 6'2 or 3 or something, creates offense. I know it's hindsight's easy for me to sit here and say this. I know.
I'm not disagreeing.
He played 25 games for them last year in the playoffs. Had 5 goals, 7 assists. This year, through 69 games, he has 54 points, 22 goals, 32 assists, plus 13 on the year.
And so they didn't leave the money is the point. Doug's point is about their cap space and that they didn't allocate the money to give
it's
these
crazy.
Guys.
It's crazy. No, they do. You just get rid of somebody. It's easy.
But Doug put them in a spot to say, you're going to have to get rid of somebody.
Yes.
And they said, we don't want to. We're just going to get.
Do it.
And so to your point, the Leafs, they're losing Marner's money, which they'll probably pay Marner if he'll stay.
Tavares's
money. The cap's going up $7.5 million. Like, you can't put the Leafs in a bind with Nyes.
You're
it's
matching
not possible,
all day long.
So they're matching.
You're matching all
but
day long.
I think to his point, like, even if it's ever close like that. Now, I don't know. The Kotkaniemi one's interesting because that got personal. Remember the way that all shook out?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that he ended up being what people with Carolina thought he was going to be.
Not even close.
Like, I'm not sure Montreal was all that hurt by that one.
Well, the Habs did, like,
the Aho offer.
Well, yeah, but that was like they were like, "Oh, great, we'll pay him." What was it? $8 million. It was a horrible offer.
Eight and a half or something. That was just
like,
so
six now, six
easily one. Matched.
But I mean, I'm looking at Broberg's numbers this year too, boys. Like, he's playing 20 a night, plus 13, 21 points and 56.
They're like 24
games.
Years old.
I at the time I was thinking like they got to save this money for Draisaitl. They got to save the money for McDavid. They got Bouchard coming up. Like, you understood the thought process at the time I said that, but looking back, Captain Hindsight.
It's tough that they're both huge really effective.
And the guys they played, like, Skinner's been a lightning rod for them out there all year.
Into the playoffs.
They haven't loved Arvidsson.
Yeah. And
like, Emerson going in there. He's been okay, but anyways.
It is, like, it's genius that you were able to get those two guys really at the start of their careers.
He's maybe the best GM in the league.
And I want to say what he said about Binnington is just so, so great. It's just being like, we're happy we won, but this guy can go back to.
Yeah, happy he can exist.
Go back to Toronto.
Is there really that much pressure that if he gave one up, Canada would have turned on him?
It's fork in the road.
It is. Yeah.
It is. Life fork in the road.
Are you forgetting how tense
I'm
this
asking
was,
it so you can give me this answer.
You,
I know
that
the
was the most insanely intense.
If they don't win, or if he's okay, I'm not sure he's on the Olympic team next year.
Like, or right? Even just in the NHL, how people feel about you as the starter. Can we trust him to win us the big game? Do we need to get someone else if St. Louis starts to turn it around? Yeah, you can trust him. Yeah, you keep your job. Yeah, you play your contract.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. the alternate universe where Brady Tkachuk shoots that's a little higher and it enters the net is truly my personal hell. Like, I like thinking about how life would have been different for this past month and a half.
Political stakes.
I guess it's a literal month ago today that the gold medal was played. What would the last month would have looked like for Canadians and hockey fans? Like, God, thank you for saving that.
Another reason why you're sleeping well these days.
Yeah, that would have been a tough.
I think Mark Carney was on the ice with the Oilers today.
Was he wearing goalie skates?
Yeah,
he was a goalie for Harvard.
I gotta tell you. Like, that's a tough, he had a tough getup. Like, those skates look terrible.
Yeah, they look, he
looked really dusty out there. Just gotta say, a lot of dust.
Give him credit for going out there.
Yeah.
But,
Mr.
Get that Albertan.
Yeah, like, you're wearing cement boots out there. Yeah.
You know, I think it's great that he's not embarrassed to put himself in that spot. Yeah. Let's check it out. He played hockey.
Just hit the net with a wrister. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play to odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Lots of action on the ice tonight, and big ones across the league.
Yes.
Specifically, the general manager of the St. Louis Blues we just had on. I got to tell you, we're getting a lot of hate on the Vancouver text line. Vancouver people can find anything
to hate
on.
Over the Blues jersey?
All the Blues jersey. Anti-Canadian, the anti-Canucks bias on this show is astounding. Blah, blah, blah. Anyways, we have like a Canucks guy on every week to praise and talk about the Canucks. Anyways,
Hey, send it all to Sammy, by the way.
Yeah, well, why am
I don't participate in any of these decisions.
Hey, you hit up Rutherford for a Canucks sweater.
We have one.
We have a good one?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's small. It's like in between this one and normal size.
Oh, it's not one I can hang from my rearview mirror, is it?
No, it's not the Oilers one. So anyways, in St. Louis tonight, Canucks visiting them. The Blues are big favorites tonight, -140 on the money line. Really good matchup, as good as you can hope for at this time of year, +120. The Montreal Canadiens, another huge game here tonight.
Give me Nick Suzuki 9 goals tonight.
After the break,
Do not dare to suck up now.
After the break, after this, we're going to go through all the centers and we're going to say who you'd rather have.
No, we're not.
Okay. Anyways, the Montreal Canadiens are +120 in New York, taking on the Islanders, who are -140 on the money line. That's a really good game with lots of playoff stakes. Looking through some of the Calgary Flames continue their East Coast road trip, taking on the Devils. They're +145 in New Jersey. New Jersey's big fave there, -170. And I'm just looking at the other ones across the league. A really, really good one in Edmonton tonight. Two of the premier teams in the NHL. Winnipeg visiting our Jets, visiting the Oilers. The Jets are -105 on the money line. Oilers -115, pretty much a pick 'em there. That'll be an excellent matchup between two of the best teams in the league, which are both Canadian.
Yeah, with Draisaitl out, that swings.
Yeah, so Draisaitl not playing, which sucks, but McDavid's still playing, so that'll be fun. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play to odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to put our heads together, and we're going to figure out what the heck you do with the NHL All-Star Game.
Cancel it. Oh,
Can we go to break first, Sammy?
Yeah, sure, sorry. Cancel it. Okay, go ahead.
More Sammy when we return after these words.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kipper, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Before we get into NHL news and notes, well, this includes it, but before we get into the All-Star conversation here, what's the latest on expansion?
So ESPN has reported and confirmed by our Elliot Friedman that Dan Friedkin has emerged as a strong candidate to bring expansion team to Houston. Which, you know, as Phoenix also would like to get a team back there at some point, Phoenix and Houston sound good to take us to 34?
Well, wasn't the governor of Louisiana on record saying that he's had lots of nice calls with the NHL as well?
Louisiana?
New Orleans.
Is Wheezy F Baby going to get a team? What are we doing here?
I don't know. You got a pair of skates? Come on out. Try out for...
Not New Orleans. You know what, though? New Orleans would be a awesome addition to the league. Better than Houston.
I mean...
Houston's a good sports town, maybe. Isn't it?
Hockey, though?
Football.
Yeah. I mean, with the Rockets and the Texans.
It's one of those things. I think it's the fifth biggest city in the U.S. So I think if you're the NHL, we're like, we need to be there. We just need to be there based on demographics.
And they want it for Dallas.
Who's the baseball team? Oh, my God.
Yeah, have a rival.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Astros.
Yeah.
So, like, they have three. They have the three out of the four, so they want the fourth.
Yeah. Yes. So, Houston, Dan Friedkin.
Just move it to... Hey, can we get a...
They're going to be named the Yeti, surprisingly.
Can we get a Vaughn billionaire here and get one in Toronto?
The Vaughn billionaires. Good name.
Great name. Melville Millionaires.
We had Doug Armstrong on earlier. If you're just catching our program right now, download it because he was fantastic.
That was awesome.
One of the questions that I asked him was the overall stress that it may put on players now to perform at this level every other year. That will lead to a... What do we do with the NHL All-Star Game conversation? Mm. But I really believe that we got to find a way, maybe in those international years, to cut games down, not keep
less regular season games. Now the NHL's out on international.
When you're in a position where you could sell a Four Nations tournament and hit those high marks of interest and TV money and sponsors.
Give the rest of the players a break.
Take a little bit off of 82 games.
How many?
Go the year of an Olympic event.
Oh.
Go to 78 games or go to 76 games. We are going to run these guys straight into the ground. I asked him about the stress of the players. You know what he said? What's best for the game? He put the game ahead of the players. And it's the chicken and the egg thing, right? Who's part of the game? It's the players. If you're beating these guys up, and I will tell you that what I've seen this year based on the Four Nations and the amount of games that we've squeezed into this season, there's some nights the product has really suffered, okay? And it's some nights it's not great. And it could be just the fact that there's some nights the players just don't have it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of nights over a lot of seasons where it's not great.
Yeah, it just happens. But like,
I mean, there's teams playing each other.
Just going to 78 make a tangible difference.
Look at a lot of these teams with their scheduling.
I think the scary thing is, to your point, Kipper, is that what we've seen from some of the big stars that took part in that, where Matthews' season took a big dip, McDavid's season took a big dip.
Injuries.
Kachuk's not playing.
Is there a
Brady
chance?
Brady misses a few games. Like, that's...
You can pull back the schedule on an Olympic, or no. Mm-hmm. It's just about the money.
No, I'm fine with that. 7-8's fine. You're asking each owner to give up two gates. They probably make it back in the Four Nations year, you know, when you do some extra event like that.
Yeah.
I think they'd be hard-pressed to do it. They probably want that money. But, yeah, I think it would be the right thing to do. Now, what do you do with the All-Star game? And I think that's an interesting conversation. Because the point here is that really tough to play a game where the players expressly do not care. They do not care who wins and loses. And how much did they win if they won the whole thing in the past? Maybe 50 grand or something. Not the 50 grand is nothing to the rest of us, but to those guys, if you're at NHL All-Star, you're making 10 million.
Wasn't it for the skills comp in Toronto? Wasn't it $1 million?
$1 million won the skills comp, is that right?
Or no, there was the winning team for 3-on-3. There was $1 million involved for the 3-on-3 team.
Okay, and there's maybe only six guys. So maybe it's a lot more.
Yeah. I can't remember what the number was.
Grand, I don't know.
I remember the team winning $1 million, but I have no idea how many guys are on each team.
It doesn't seem like that's enough to motivate them.
No.
So.
Can we kill the 3-on-3, though?
Well, you want to go back to 5-on-5?
Even if it wasn't an Olympic year next year, mm-hmm. like, based on the level of competition and how hard you saw the guys go, like, how could you ever go back to that?
You might have to do like a Comic-Con, but for hockey players, like a fan expo where it's just like, you know, a convention floor and the players, yes. Instead of playing a game, you got to go mingle with the fans. You got to sign autographs.
It's stand behind be a the rope.
Yeah.
Don't feed the animals.
It's got to be a thing for the people. You're not going to play a game.
Like a petting zoo.
We're going to go celebrate the game for the weekend.
Yeah.
He's still going to have, I think he's still going to have some sort of.
Oh, honor. Kip's got an idea. What's your idea?
I just said, like a petting zoo.
Smart. I think you got to have an on-ice element of some kind.
Yeah. And then a skills contest still.
Sure.
People love that.
But if you want to do like a 3-on-3, I think, I mean, maybe you don't want to take ideas from the NBA, but.
They had the worst experience.
For sure.
It was a disaster.
Pro Bowl, is it already dead?
But even in years past when it's been good or like good-ish, they've had the rookies versus the sophomore game where they've had the young stars in the game kind of play against each other. And with a ton of the guys who are going to be flying to Milan the next day from this all-star competition, maybe you have some of the young stars in the game who aren't quite ready to go to the Olympics. They take part in some
game. The not-quite-all-star game. Sure. Everyone who is not good enough to play in the Olympics.
If you need to have some event.
Slash AHL.
Yeah.
If you need to have some event, that's something, I guess. But, like, why have anything? No one likes it. Is it just for the corporate build-out? Is that why you're doing it? Is it for kids,
like,
I guess?
You know, part of it is that there's not a whole lot of moments where it's just like no pressure for wins and losses. Let's get to know the personalities of the players. Let's see their faces.
But they had no personality.
That's limiting.
We tried to put capes on them. We tried to dress them like Miami Vice. Like, disaster.
It was. The shooting the surfboards on the beach was like, this is pretty dark.
This is.
Can we just mic him up and put him in a bar?
So
that is, that's how you grow the game, baby. That's how you grow the game.
So
GoPros at the club.
Key to the VIP over here.
I can't recall the exact date that they announced the New York Islanders would be hosting next season's All-Star weekend. But what happened between then?
The Four Nations is your answer. The Four Nations. Four Nations. Four Nations.
So they were surprised it was so good.
It crushed the All-Star Games.
The same people were so surprised that their event was good.
Truly.
That now it's a bad idea.
I don't know if you've ever written a piece of content where you're like, whatever, publish. Send it and people just like, it just blows up and people love it. And you're like, that? You like that? I need to do more. That's what the Four Nations was. The NHL created another event. They've created a million events. And then people loved it, and they're like, that's the signal. We need to be more like that. Okay.
I can read you what the commissioner said. We're reevaluating how we want to do things because I think we've raised the bar about as high as you can for an all-star game in any sport. And so we want to make sure whatever we do is up to the standards we've created. Impossible. I think there's part of you.
Actually, it would suck to try to live up to it. You can't. That moment is past.
That's why
they're going to have to play this 3-on-3. I see no other alternative.
You don't like the petting zoo?
Oh, my gosh. The petting. No, I don't want a petting zoo.
Okay.
Right? Don't. And okay. I don't even think the players, they're not going to just want to be paraded out there.
Fan draft. So the players pick fans out of the crowd who play the game. No.
Oh, now we're talking.
I pick Mark Carney as my goalie.
Someone suggested to me that ESPN really wanted it, or the American Network really pushed for an all-star, and now they're like, I think that may have been a factor too, where the networks, where the pressure was from maybe corporate partners.
You could see people who don't know hockey, who don't have their finger on the pulse of the game, being like, do that again, do another, you know, like Four Nations type thing. It's like, we cannot. We cannot recreate.
That's the point that I want to hammer home, is that was such an unbelievable lightning in a bottle, 2-week situation where
it hit like, the political stride, the absence of previous international play.
There's no ever way you could ever live up to that. So I'm not saying don't even try, but be careful with your expectations what it's going to look like again. Yeah. Like, it's like them making Happy Gilmore 2. It's like, do we really need this?
Why are we doing this? Like Happy Gilmore 2. You have to go into it knowing it's not going to be Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
It cannot be
my favorite movie that they're going to absolutely butcher?
No, they're not. But so you have to appreciate the nostalgic moments and the fun, you know, the callbacks. And that's what you're creating with the NHL in some way with the All-Star Game. I obviously don't have an answer, but you can't play a competitive event.
You think Islander fans definitely want something? Or if they cannot cancel it. right? They can't outright say,
well, part of building
the weekend off
a new rink is like it comes with, you know, the league's like, all right, we'll throw you a bone, make you a little money back, give you an event.
Every city, every community, like, clamors for it.
Yeah.
No matter what we think of it, it attracts. It makes money. It books hotels. It brings hockey people together.
There was a legit buzz here.
The one here in Toronto was great. Yeah. I took my son to the skills contest. Yeah.
It was awesome. Good.
We were down to that fan expo with all the people that went through there. The petting zoo, if you will.
We were the animals.
Yeah, we had rope around us.
Yeah. Kip was eating hay out of that lady's hand.
Do not feed Sammy. He will follow you home.
Kipper, you made some guy drive across the city with the biggest amount of Greek food I've ever seen.
Yeah. George Kalinikos.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Ate a box.
Unbelievable.
It was so good.
The guy brought a box of wine. Anyway, that was a good time.
So what about the draft?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like Bettman
Gary really doesn't hates like this idea.
The decentralized draft.
Yes.
He doesn't like it. And you know why? Because it stinks.
Well, not to go full, like, we're all looking for the guy who did this meme, but it's like, you're the commissioner. You're the commissioner.
Yeah.
I don't know where it would stem from. It's certainly not player or NHLPA driven, because they have nothing really to do with the draft until the second someone gets drafted. And then there's a little bit of, you know, where he stands on how close he becomes a member of the PA. So this is all Gary's office and his respective clubs going, it's not working for us anymore.
If, you know, the one thing that bothers me is you hear teams saying, well, you know, we lose money on it because we bring everyone.
It's so expensive for clubs. I wish we had more time with the Army. I would have said,
but that's the cost of doing business. Like, they're like, oh, we get to have our war room with 40 people all in the same room back if we don't go to the draft. It's like, okay. You know, like, no one cares. No one cares that you save $1 million. It's a cool event for the fans and for the drafted players, and it's a signature event for the league. It's better than the awards ceremony.
I think they were happy with the Sphere.
Yeah, I think
Sphere was cool.
I think that's probably why Gary's like, could we do that
one? The league did a couple things twice and they're like, what have we done?
I think it's too expensive.
Yeah, it probably isn't cheap.
Right?
Can't imagine.
And the other thing,
saw a movie there and it was $200 USD.
It's too expensive for who? The NHL?
Yes.
What does it cost for the Sphere for a night? $3 million? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. $4 million.
You know? They're about to do a TV rights package for like $10 billion. I don't know. I have no idea.
You're probably right. If Amazon's leading the way, you're probably
right.
Do
you care about this event at all? And if you do, and you should, okay, that's the cost. There's just some things cost.
Tell that to the accountant.
Well, but that's the thing to me, Kip. Okay, so you need to make this much more? Like,
the other thing, too, is they're used to taking over a building for a weekend, and that didn't happen at the Sphere.
You're in and out. You're
not in and out. You don't even get access to this facility till like 4 a.m.
Oh, like, really? So you just got to rush everything in.
They got to rush everything in. Behind the scene, I know they actually did a very good job as far as what we could tell on TV and how it looked. It looked amazing. But behind the curtains, it was a cluster, you know what?
Right, but if you can pull it off once, you can pull it off twice.
Mm.
Duck. You got the legs in the water. What's the expression? It doesn't matter.
So
is it like, do the kids miss out? Like we've seen kids not being drafted. We've seen them crushed, a lot of them. Would you not rather just see the sure things?
You get that like incredible moment that the kid walking up on stage and everybody holding the jersey.
Shaking hands with the people he's going to be working with. And it's welcome to the league.
It's part of the draft. And it's like those COVID ones. Remember where it was like, those ones suck. They're like in like with their
the NFL one, or they're like with the same. That's nice and all, but
anyways. Quickly, shout out to my hometown Attack. I'm wearing the hat today. 3 games left in their schedule. They were awful to start the year. They've turned it around. They just need a few points this weekend to potentially make the playoffs, and they were out of it. Dead. Worst team in the league, and they've gotten hot. Starting tonight in Barrie. Beware the Bear. Go Attack.
Look at me. You're not getting free tickets.
Okay. Free tickets. I'm going to coach next year.
Wouldn't even hire you to be the nutritionist.
That's for sure.
That'd be the last job to give him.
Busy night in the National Hockey League. Enjoy your game as we head on to Sportsnet Ontario for the Leafs and the Rangers. Yours truly, Justin Bourne, David Amber, Elliot Friedman. Going to be a fun night. Join us tomorrow Off the Rails Friday. We'll track down your friend and ours, Mr. Doug McClain. Have a great night, everybody.
And hi, Jeff.